This is Only a Game. I'm Bill Littlefield. There are a lot of interesting stories in the world of sports, too many to cover in the hour that we have each week. So we've enlisted some help to bring you developments too good to ignore. This week, we've invited Boston Globe Enterprise reporter Shira Springer and our own Doug Tribou to join us for something we're going to call Three Stories You Should Know. Okay with you two if I go first?
Sure.
Sure.
I've been watching at least parts of a lot of the NBA playoff games, and I'm thinking the league should create a rule limiting how often guys can intentionally foul players who are notoriously bad at shooting free throws. Because without such a rule, fans are going to get tired of witnessing the incompetence of men being paid millions of dollars to put the ball in the basket, and there's nobody in front of them, there's nobody waving their hands, and they can't do it, and the fans are going to find something else to watch. Shira, should the NBA change the way these games are played, or at least the way the fouls are given?
I think we're headed in that direction. I think we will see a rule change coming sometime this summer when the competition committee meets in Las Vegas in July. I think they really have to review this because it's painfully slow to watch these games proceed with all these fouls. And it's boring for the television viewer, something they're very concerned. They want that audience entertained if they're not in the arena.
It's a part of the problem at the end of games. We've got all sorts of
if it's the Rockets,
timing.
It's a part of the problem at the beginning of the game.
I know. Didn't they foul DeAndre Jordan like 3 minutes and 40 seconds into the game?
The opening whistle started. Yes. It was ridiculous.
To me, the overall problem is the end of the NBA games. You've got too many timeouts, too many stop starts. It's not just hacking the guys that can't make the foul shots. It's the number of fouls and the number of timeouts the coaches are allotted. You literally can turn the last 2 minutes of a game into 15 minutes.
But you played sports, Doug, when you were growing up. I know you played basketball. Do these guys not realize that if you shoot 50 foul shots in the gym when practice is over, you're going to get better than 30% from the line?
I don't know. I think Shaquille O'Neal is counting his money in his championship rings and not worrying about that.
I think the obvious solution is if you intentionally foul a player, the team that incurred the foul gets free throws and possession back. And that seems to be the most logical way to solve this problem without really disrupting the play.
All right. You have solved that problem, I think, admirably. I'm going to ask now for your candidate for the next story we ought to be checking out.
My candidate is the Women's World Cup. It is kicking off on June 6th, and there hasn't been enough pre-tournament hype, in my opinion. Nothing even remotely close to what we've seen in previous men's World Cups, particularly with Brazil last year. And the women are this country's soccer powerhouse, the team that has actually won two previous World Cup titles.
Number two in the world as we speak.
Exactly. Number two to Germany. They deserve national attention that goes beyond the legal troubles of their goalie, Hope Solo, and beyond the controversy of playing games in this World Cup on artificial turf instead of natural grass. You know, it's not a question of whether they'll advance out of the first round as it was for the men. If the U.S. wins, it would be the team's first World Cup title since 1999, when, as we all remember, they played in front of a packed Rose Bowl. There were 90,000 people watching that game. And now the game is better. The players are better. There's more depth across the board, and it deserves more attention.
What is the explanation for the fact that it isn't getting more attention? And as you pointed out, much less attention than it got back in 99.
I think part of it, unfortunately, is gender. Women's sports simply doesn't marshal as much attention, as many headlines as the men's game. And I also think the U.S. soccer hasn't done as good a job as it did with the men of marketing its players. I think there are only two or three players that may be marginally household names. You think of Alex Morgan, you think of Abby Wamba, and of course Hope Solo because of her troubles.
Yeah, so but also because she's been a great goalie.
And
I mean,
also because of
that,
yes,
she's also been
absolutely,
a terrific player.
Absolutely. But recently, I think if you talk to the up and coming generation, mm-hmm. they know her from her headlines. Unfortunately, there should be more attention. You shouldn't see promotion for the Women's World Cup during softball games and during women's basketball games. It should be across the spectrum in all sports where you should be seeing this tournament hyped.
I don't know what the answer to this is, but when these kinds of conversations come up about women's sports and men's CNN Sports and Promotion. There is something about the team and the individual, you know, Venus Williams and Serena Williams and some of the top world figure skaters. They become stars individually, but as you were saying earlier, the individual stars of this team are not what they once were in previous iterations.
And they're great stories with this women's team. I mean, I think of just besides the stars that some may know about, there is a 40-year-old woman, Christy Rampone, who's playing in her fifth World Cup. I mean, that's pretty amazing. And I know there's a great story to write about there, and more people should know it.
Okay, Doug, it's your turn.
My story that you should know is that Michael Sam, the NFL's first openly gay player, he was drafted last year, cut by two teams, has signed with the Canadian Football League's Montreal Alouettes. And this is something you should know for a couple of reasons. Yes, he becomes the first openly gay Canadian Football League player. But also, this shows that this is a guy who is smart. There are players who have done phenomenally well by making this move. Most notably, Warren Moon, who went on to become a Hall of Fame quarterback. He couldn't find a starting job, couldn't find a home in the league, went to Canada, came back to the NFL, and was dominant. And there are other examples as well. Doug Flutie started in the NFL, went to the Canadian Football League, came back and had better success in the NFL. Tim Tebow, in my opinion, should have been doing this for the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. Now, he's coming back to the NFL, but would he be a better player if he had spent maybe two seasons actively playing in Canada? I think Michael Sam is making a smart football move and also good for the Canadian Football League.
Yeah, seems to me to also demonstrate his determination. I mean, somebody cut twice by two NFL teams might have figured the story was over. He's determined enough to play football to find himself another place to play, and good on him.
Yeah, you kind of thought that determination might be waning when he signed up for Dancing with the Stars. But
you don't think that's a good way to stay in shape?
No. But clearly he's seen the light and recognizes that dancing is not the best,
not the best preparation
career for him. Yes.
Thank you, Shira Springer of the Boston Globe, and our own Doug Trabue. Thank you very much. We're going to have to do this again, I think.
Definitely. Yes.